guest is one of Hollywood's best-known actors. Scoring heavily in Scarface, which is now regarded as a film classic, he went on to further acting triumphs in Bolero, Each Don't I Die, Broadway, Johnny Angel, Whistle Stop, Intrigue, and many others. A hard-hitting guy, both on and off the screen. He's an ex-prize fighter, an ex-dancer, an ex-actor.
Just a minute, Les. Where do you get that ex-actor stuff?
Well, I was just going to explain that now you're not only an actor, but also a producer.
Oh, that's all right, then.
It's a real pleasure to introduce the distinguished actor-producer, Mr. George Rath.
Thank you very much. You had me worried for a minute, Les, and I'd like to try and prove that I'm still an actor.
Well, I'm sure that you will, George, and we'll save that little talk until right after the play, huh?
Right.
Thank you, George Rath. And now, here is our announcer.
Hats off!
Three cheers!
Hooray for the red, white, and blue!
The great Rexall red, white, and blue sale!
Rally round as Rexall lights up the sky with hundreds of star-spangled value.
Thrilled with a big parade of bargain after bargain after bargain.
Save on everything from vitamins to shaving cream.
Toothbrushes to nylon.
And remember, every Rexall product is guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
Get in the spirit of Rexall's great red, white, and blue sale.
Going on right now, but only at your Rexall store.
The curtain is up, and here is the play. This is the story of a man, of a bunch of keys, and the doors they open for him. It's a damp New England morning, and the northerly wind tugs sarcastically with the frayed edges of a down-and-outer's coat as he stands in front of Jimmy's lunchroom. His nostrils tense as the aroma of the coffee becomes unbearable. Giving up the futile thoughts of food, he turns away as Louise McGowan rushes around the corner.
Oh, golly, I'm sorry. I was in a rush, and I guess I wasn't looking where I was going. I'm sort of dense at this hour of the morning, and I just wasn't
That's
looking.
All right. You don't weigh very much.
I guess that's because I dash around so much. Is Jimmy's open?
Sure. Can't you smell the coffee?
Yes, indeed. And do I need a cup? Well, I'm sorry I charged into you. I'll be seeing... Say, wouldn't you like a cup of coffee?
Thanks. I just had one down the block a ways.
There isn't any restaurant down the block a ways. Come on, I owe you a cup of coffee at least. Why, you could sue me for dangerous walking. Come on, please. I've been down on my luck, too. You can sit at the other end of the counter if I'm not your type.
Thanks. I'd love a cup of coffee. And I'd like to sit beside you, if you don't mind. I haven't talked to anyone in almost a week.
Morning, Louise.
Hi, Jimmy. I brought you another customer. You should be paying me a commission. Orange juice, toast, and coffee for me. And he'll have the same, plus some ham and eggs.
Two orange juice, toast, and coffee, one ham and eggs. Coming up.
I really shouldn't let you.
Let's sit in the booth, We'll have more room to spread out the paper in case we want to read.
But they didn't want to read, either of them. Louise wanted to know what made this man tick. He had a heavy growth of beard. His clothes were dirty and torn. But a wild rose stuck in the buttonhole of a ragged lapel seemed somehow to belong there. By the time Jimmy brought the food, the stranger was talking, opening up like a man who's lived with himself too long. The little beanery had become the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And as Joel Hammond spoke, his listeners were entranced with the drama of a different world. On the afternoon Joel was telling about, he stood tossing his bunch of keys in the air. At 28, Joel Hammond had become the boy wonder of Wall Street, in his habit of tossing his keys, his identification. That day, the keys went up and down at a mile-a-minute clip. The wise boys knew there was trouble in the air. They had their eyes and their ears on Joel Hammond.
Sell another 1,000, Sam. I'll need it to cover this morning's losses. Oh, this is Hammond. Get my office, please. Gracie? Oh, Mary. Mr. Finch in? Thanks. Hello, Harry? It's taking another tumble, Harry. I'll need some help. Nope. The bottom's out of industrial, too. I'll have to call on John and you, too. Oh. I see. Of course, I understand. Hammond again. Will you get me Miss Richmond? It's Plaza. Yes, that's right. Three more points. Where will it stop? Hello. Violet? Oh, look, baby. Things have gone a little sour here. I'm afraid I'll have to borrow those bonds I gave you last week. No, not yet. But if I can't raise some big money in a hurry... Oh, I see. Well, it's nice to know the score, Violet. Never mind, then. Have a nice time at the party, dear. Page boy. Oh, there you are. Will you see that this key is turned in at the exchange office? I won't be needing it anymore. Here, for your trouble. I'm not that broke.
There were six keys on Joel's bunch once. Now there were only five. But if the loss bit into him deeply, you couldn't tell it from his arrogant stride as he approached the offices of Joel Hammond Associates, his bunch of keys still being tossed in the old familiar gesture.
Oh, Mr. Hammond. We were all so sorry to hear that...
Ah, we all have our ups and downs, Miss Emery. Is Mr. Finch in?
No, Mr. Hammond. He's left. They've all gone.
I might have guessed it, Miss Emery. I won't be around for a while. Someone might like an extra key. The cleaning woman, maybe. Here.
Oh. Goodbye, Mr. Hammond.
Once there were six keys on Joel's bunch. Now there were only four. He was still tossing them jauntily as he stepped into a swank automobile showroom to surrender the special low-slung convertible that was his pride and joy.
How much will I owe you if I turn the car over to you this afternoon?
I'd have to figure it out, Mr. Hammond. Of course, a car's price goes down rapidly once it's been...
Well, figure it out. I'll drop by tomorrow and settle with you in full. The car's out front. Here's the key.
Once there were six keys on Joel's key ring. Now there were only three. He was still tossing them in the air as he entered the locker room at the Lido Club, emptied his locker, divided its contents between the attendant and his favorite caddy, and turned in the key at the club office. There were only two keys left, but the habit of years was not easily broken. Joel still tossed his keys in the air as he faced Violet that night.
And all you have to say to me is that you're busy tonight and you'd like to talk it over in the morning.
I'm really frightfully sorry, Joel. I made the date with the Creightons ages ago. You're usually busy on Thursday nights, and I know you can't abide the Creightons, so...
I've survived several evenings with them during the past few years.
All right, then, Joel, if you won't be nice about it. The Creightons wouldn't welcome you. Everyone in my circle knows by this time that you were washed up this afternoon. My own position's in jeopardy. Now they're saying, what could Violet Richmond have ever seen in that big farmer with the loud suits?
I got rid of those suits you didn't like 3 weeks after we met. And I got rid of that flashy car you didn't like this afternoon.
That too, Joel? I'm really sorry.
Sorry enough to marry me and go away somewhere? Make a new start?
Let's not have a scene, Joel.
There were times when I thought we might have...
You had money and I was willing to help you spend it. But if I wouldn't marry you when you were riding the crest, I certainly wouldn't now.
I'm sorry I held you up. I'm going up to the lodge until I can figure this all out. Here. I won't need this anymore. And give the Creightons my love.
As Joel Hammond left for New England the next day, one key hung on his keychain, the key to his country lodge. And the big rambling place came alive as Louise made Joel tell her about it between mouthfuls of ham and eggs.
I didn't do much of anything there, but I kept telling myself that this was what I needed. Long walks, hours in front of the fireplace, an occasional trip to the village for food.
You cooked it yourself?
Yeah, I let the caretaker go the first day. I settled my bills before I left New York, and it took almost my last dollar to pay them off.
And after that, you were completely alone?
For a month, maybe two or three. I didn't keep track of the time. I slept a lot. When I slept, I didn't think so much. And then I got the letter.
The letter?
Was signed by a lawyer. It was really from Violet. It tied the pink ribbon on the whole situation.
She wanted something? But you had nothing left.
Just the lodge. I still have the letter right here. It makes nice reading.
This communication will serve to inform you that the country lodge, purchased by you in 1944 and registered under the name of Miss Violet Richmond, has now been resold by Miss Richmond. And since the new owners desire occupancy at an early day... Oh, she couldn't have had the heart to...
I left the same day. I guess I must have gone a little batty for a minute. As I walked to the door, I took the key and tossed it into the woods. As far as I could throw it.
The rest of Joel's story to Louise wasn't any brighter than the beginning. Turned down by the armed forces, fired from a job in a war plant because he'd started drinking by this time, fired from a series of routine jobs he couldn't concentrate on, there wasn't a place for Joel Hammond.
And this morning I've really hit bottom. I'm accepting charity, and from a woman. Honestly, I've tried everything.
Not everything.
Oh, so now I get the lecture. I am told that I needed the influence of a good woman, or religion or something. You fill my belly and now you can save my soul. You'll get a special merit badge in the girl guides. Or you can tell your Sunday school class how you saved a sinner.
I'm much too busy to save your soul. I'm late now. Here, Jimmy, I'll be seeing you.
Wait a minute, wait. I'm sorry. I was very rude, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. But I understand.
And you won't rush off for another moment?
Well, I really have to. I wanted to get to the office early so I could leave in time to get my apartment cleaned up when I get home.
Why don't you let me do that? It would be a way of paying you back for breakfast.
Oh, I wouldn't think of letting you clean my...
No, I mean it. I'd like to do it. More than just paying you back for breakfast. I'd like to polish the stove and scrub the floors until they shine. I'd like to lose myself in a sea of soap suds. I'd like to show you that I could.
All right. It's a deal. The apartment is down the side street around the corner. 331 Maple, apartment 3. Here's the key. Bring it back to Jimmy when you're through. Bye now.
Are you on the level? Do you really need a job?
I haven't got a nickel.
Well, I can use a helper. Could you wash dishes and maybe do a little light cooking, fry an egg, or maybe fill the coffee urns?
I think I could. But I've got to clean that young lady's apartment first. I promised her. I could come in later this afternoon.
Oh, I don't need you in the afternoons. Suppose you start tomorrow morning. You clean the place up, get the coffee started, and maybe wait on a few early birds before I get here. Do you know how the coffee urns work?
I watched you through the window this morning.
Well, then, you're all set. You'll find a razor and a clean apron in the back room when you get here. Hey, you'll be opening up, so you'll need my extra key. Here, catch. Atta boy, you ought to be playing for the Dodgers. Hey, what you doing?
Joel was looking around the counter for something. He found it at last, a small piece of twine from one of the sugar sacks Jimmy had been emptying. He took his two keys, the one to Louise's apartment and the one to the beanery, and tied them together. He tossed them in the air, and his lips pursed together as though he wanted to whistle but couldn't quite make it. Head up, he turned to the door. Joel Hammond had a start on a new bunch of keys. How he adds to them and what doors are opened is a fascinating story, which we will continue in a few moments with our guest, the distinguished motion picture actor, Mr. George Rapp, playing the role of Joel Hammond. But now, as Joel heads for Louise's apartment, and Jimmy takes care of his regular trade, our announcer would like to talk to you about a favorite subject.
The name Keepsake means quality.
Brilliant.
Keepsake is guaranteed.
Perfect.
Keepsake is styled for you. It's a truly perfect diamond ring. It's a guaranteed perfect diamond ring meant just for you. Your keepsake.
Well, that was an interesting visit, but now it's time to get back to the theater for the second act of A Bunch of Keys, starring Mr. George Raft as Joel Hammond. Joel started work in Jimmy's lunchroom the next morning, and Louise came in to thank him the following day.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Joel.
Morning, Louise.
Hiya, Louise. The usual?
The usual.
The usual, Joel.
Orange juice, toast, and coffee coming up.
Is this stool on your station, my good man? I do so like to have my favorite waiter take care of me.
Here you are. I made the coffee.
Smells good. I really had time to fix my own breakfast this morning, but I wanted to come in and thank you for the job you did on my apartment. It hasn't looked like that since I moved in. And where did you find the flowers?
They were growing in that empty lot on the corner.
You're getting better, Joe. You have two keys. Is that what's done it?
In a way, and I know that I'm better than I've been in months. But I'm not kidding myself. I know that I won't be back to normal until I have my bunch of keys again. Keys that open the doors to the things I want. Keys that make people say, there goes Joel Hammond. He just bought a home on the Riviera. He just took the street for a ride in copper. He's always at first nights and Mondays at the opera. The polo games, the horse shows.
I've never seen a play, much less a first night. But I know what you mean. We have fun here in Barston, though. We have two picture houses.
Joel and Louise took in both the Orpheum and the Bijou that week, and he continued to work for Jimmy. After the tirade of that first morning, he seemed to settle down to his new job. And then, suddenly, after a few months, he quit. He didn't say why, but wise old Jimmy had an idea that Joel had gotten a chance to add another key to his new bunch.
Well, here I am, Mr. Bryant. Which is my desk?
Your desk? Why, the whole shebang is yours. You're the manager.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Bryant. This doesn't make sense. You offer me a job as a real estate salesman at twice what I was getting at Jimmy's. And now you tell me that I'm the manager of the whole outfit.
Say, I liked your manner the first time I laid eyes on you, and I have confidence you can make money for the both of us. The salary's only a starter.
All right, go ahead. I need money. I have to have it if I'm going to get where I expect to go again. But I have to know the setup. Why did you pick a town like Boston, and what made you select the assistant as a hash slinger in a lunchroom as your prize salesman?
Oh, now, get off your high horse, Hammond. Joel, the deal's on the level. But I'm not making any claims to being a philanthropist. I'm a businessman.
Oh, I know you built that swell house out there at the airport, but you couldn't need a salesman to sell that house in times like this.
Oh, no. I'm going to build 500 of those houses, Joel, my boy, and I'm going to rent them to veterans at low rents. They'll fill up in a hurry.
They sure will, but I don't get the pitch. You say you're a businessman, but there certainly isn't much profit in becoming a one-man's veteran housing committee. What's the angle?
Oh, now the deal is simple. With 500 new families moving into an undeveloped community, there's a great opening for the local businessmen. It'll be a little city all by itself.
Where does the profit come in?
Well, I bought all the property around there. I got it for a song. We're going to sell it at a very handsome profit.
Sounds good. Where do I fit in?
Well, Joel, you've met most of the local businessmen since you've been working at Jimmy's, and they like you, according to all I hear. Now, you've got to sell them on the idea of helping us help them make Barston grow. I couldn't do it, and, well, maybe you can't either.
Well, they're suspicious of anyone who hasn't lived in this town for at least 25 years.
Yes. But if you were to sell Jimmy the idea of becoming the president of our community plan, they might go for it, eh?
Well, the folks in this town think a lot of him.
Well, that's right. He gets the credit for providing homes for 500 veterans and a new center for profitable stores. And I sell a lot of land I got cheap at a real profit. Oh, I'm figuring you in for half, Joel.
Okay, it's a deal.
Jimmy became the president of the Barston Remembers Her Veterans Committee, and he spent several evenings going around with Joel to the important businessmen of the community.
You'd be helping the committee and yourself at the same time, Mr. Schmidt. They have to have meat markets.
I bought the first lot, Mr. Skinner, but I don't think a soda fountain would hurt my business too much, and they'll sure need a drugstore.
Jimmy sees things our way, Mr. Gardner. And there'll be lots of kids who'll need new shoes in this project.
The furniture store should do well, Mr. Levy, and you'll also be giving the vets a hand in building up the community.
By the end of November, the project was set. Jimmy had started construction of a new lunchroom, and half a dozen others had broken ground. Aside from that first imposing sample house, things were going slowly across the boulevard from the store property, but everyone knew that it was hard to get the right material for 500 quality homes, and Bryant kept running to the city in quest of building material. Joel was very busy. He had a deal developing that would clean up the last of the property with a theater and recreational center.
Gee, it's good to see you smiling, Joel. I'm glad the project's really going over, even if it has meant that I haven't seen much of you lately.
It's just about wound up now. And when the last deal's made, I kiss little old Boston goodbye.
Oh.
Oh, baby, don't look like that. I expect to take you with me. As my wife. Well, I'm going to take the money I made here and hit the street again. I'll hold on to it this time. You'll have everything you've ever wanted. A big house, servants, limousine a block and a half long.
No, Joel. Those are things you want.
Oh, everyone wants those things. That's what we all work for. What else is there?
The things your New York friends would probably call corny. The respect and friendship of people like Jimmy. A nice little house here, if we're lucky. Or if we're not, a little apartment with paper drapes if we can't afford the other kind. And love, Joel. The kind that doesn't need cars or mansions or...
Louise, you don't understand.
I thought at first I did, Joel. And I was very happy that you'd found yourself. That you'd begun to realize that money isn't what it takes to make a person happy. But you're not working for the veterans. You're working for money again. You want to get back to Wall Street for revenge.
To put it more plainly, you aren't interested in marrying me and going back to New York.
I think I've loved you since that first day we had breakfast together. But I won't marry you to become a part of the unreal life you yourself painted for me.
Okay. If that's the way it is, Louise.
They stopped seeing each other, and Joel plunged into his work with an intensity that bordered on obsession. His goal was Christmas in New York, and he closed the deal for the theater and recreational center the day before Christmas. He could hardly wait to see Bryant.
Here it is, Mr. Bryant. Cash on the line. For the last piece of profit.
And I've got all the rest of the money in cash, too. We split two ways, just like I said. A man of his word, that's Bryant.
Thanks, Mr. Bryant. Oh, you won't be needing me anymore, so I'm leaving for New York tonight. I wish you luck with the project.
Are you kidding? I'll be on the same train.
Oh, swell. Going to spend the holidays in the big town.
I'll spend more than that, I guess. Easy come, easy go. If I never see this burg again, it'll be okay with me.
But the houses, they're not finished.
I'm not putting up any houses in this one-horse town.
But that's fraud. You can't get away with it.
No. Take it easy, Hammond. We're within our legal rights. I sold property that belonged to me, didn't I? I just happened to change my mind about the houses. I found out the material was too tough to get or something.
But you can't do that to the people here. To the veterans.
Now, don't pull any hero stuff on me. You pulled plenty of rough stuff on Wall Street. Yeah, sure. I knew who you were the minute I spotted you in that beanery. And I wasn't kidding you any either. You know what you were doing.
I guess that's what Louise will think, too.
What do you care? You won't be here.
Maybe I will.
Oh, don't talk like a fool. You got yours. This is the time to scram. You needed dough for your revenge in the street, didn't you? All right, you got it now. That's the important thing.
I don't think so.
Oh, will you stop talking like a chump? The train leaves in an hour. Let's get...
But I couldn't leave and let Louise think that money was that important. Why, even if I came back later...
Okay, chum, so you've fallen for the little babe who used to hang around the beanery. Fine. You stay here in Boston, pal. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll give you the sample house free and clear. That house is worth a lot of dough, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We make out a bill of sale for it. So that proves that you were taken in just like the rest, huh? You're left sitting pretty with your girl. Swell house for a wedding present.
Louise wouldn't live in a house I got that way.
Well, if she won't, some other dame will. Oh, now, look, don't be a sap. Here's the key to the house.
I don't want the key.
Look, nobody's going to blame you. If they blame anybody, it'll be Jimmy. He was the president of the community plan, wasn't he? Let him take the rap.
Why, you dirty no... Ow!
When Joel walked out of Bryant's office, he had all the cash with him. Whether Bryant liked it or not, he was going to build those homes. And Joel... Well, Joel had a different look on his face as he tramped through the snowy streets of Boston to Jimmy's lunchroom.
Evening, Jimmy.
Well, Joel, what happened?
Oh, I just had a little fight with my conscience.
Oh?
Is it all right if I step in the back and wash up?
Sure, here. You'll find a clean towel there and the cure crumbs on the top shelf. Wait, I'll turn the water on for you.
Thanks.
Do I look all right now, Jimmy?
You look better than I've ever seen you, Joel.
Oh, I went to Louise's before I came here, Jimmy. She wasn't home. Uh-huh. You would know where I could find her, would you?
Christmas Eve. She's probably in church.
Thanks, Jimmy. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you.
But Joel had plans for Christmas Day. He rushed to the church and got there just as the big doors were swinging open at the close of the services.
Louise!
Louise, I stayed to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Joel. It's nice seeing you again.
I also stayed to tell you I finally turned down a key.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
All my life I've been collecting those keys I toss in the air. Maybe the gesture started as a little nervous habit. But it ended up being me, Joel Hammond. A bunch of keys to cars and club lockers and the things money could buy. Tonight I turned down a key to an expensive house because I knew you wouldn't share it with me.
Oh. I have an idea. I know what you're talking about now. And I'm glad, Joel. So very glad.
Louise, I have an idea you can show me the keys to a lot of things I haven't known about until now.
I'll try, darling.
That's all I'll need because angels can do no more.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of A Bunch of Keys, starring Mr. George Raft, who returns in just a moment.
In the great American tradition of getting an honest-to-goodness bargain,
Rexall salutes the nation's shoppers with a great red, white, and blue sale.
Hats off to true blue savings.
You'll cheer at the star-spangled values. Everything from aspirin to cosmetics.
Vitamins to razor blades.
And remember, every Rexall product is sold on a guarantee of satisfaction or your money back.
Give your budget a 21-gun salute.
Shop at Rexall's red, white, and blue sale.
Going on now, but only at your Rexall store.
And here's our star, Mr. George Raft. George, thanks very much for a sincere and understanding performance.
Thank you, Les. I enjoyed every minute of it. And,
The play's over, George. You can put the keys away now.
And now I must get the keys to my car out and rush along.
Oh.
Oh, before I go, Les, I'd like to thank you for a very pleasant association with you during the preparation of this play, for a good story and an outstanding cast. And I'd like to thank Lorette Philbrant, particularly for her work as Louise.
Well, thank you, and goodbye, George Raft. In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. George Raft, as Joel. Lorette Philbrant as Louise. Sarah Jane Wells as Violet, Griff Barnett as Jimmy, Bill Boucher as Brian. A Bunch of Keys was written by Bud Lesser. Music was composed and conducted by Del Castillo and produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell. You know, it's quite often said that a sound does not exist unless there's an ear to hear it. And so it is in our theater. A play means nothing unless there's an audience to enjoy it. And so we'd like to thank you very sincerely for attending our radio theater this week. We hope you'll be back each and every week to hear Hollywood stars in specially selected radio plays. In the weeks to come, we'll have as our guests outstanding stars in stories especially selected for their talents and your pleasure. Join us, won't you?